You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Our serial this month is Dead Queen Walking, and this is the very last episode, not only of the novella Dead Queen Walking, but of the entire Castle Charming series. If you'd like to read Dead Queen Walking on your e-reader of choice, Patreon subscribers can download the book now, and it will be available for general sale in late December 2019. Stay tuned for more news about the Castle Charming Collected Edition in print, which will be coming in 2020. I'll let you know when I have more information about that. And thank you so much for supporting the Castle Charming stories. I can't believe it's all over. Dead Queen Walking. Epilogue. Just another day at Castle Charming. 3 months later. The day started well. Kai awoke with a corporal in his bed, warm and drowsy. He leaned up, planting a slow kiss on Dennis's bare shoulder. Rise and shine. Shining is not in my job description, muttered Dennis. Kai added a hint of teeth to his next kiss. Are you sure? They were late to breakfast. Walk of shame, coughed Chase into his napkin, as Kai and Dennis arrived just this side of disgracefully late to the private breakfast room that the royal siblings had negotiated for themselves during the recent reshuffling of living quarters. The Queen gave in remarkably quickly to that one, almost like she agreed she shouldn't have to deal with her adult children until after they'd had their first coffee of the day. Kai reached out and flicked his brother in the sunglasses as he passed him on the way to the sideboard, where the food options were laid out for them. Walk of hangover? Shh, not so loud, grumbled Chase. Cyrus bounced up from the table, draining the last of an orange juice glass that had been specially ordered for him, 4 times the size of nearly any other drinking vessel in the castle, except perhaps for the ancestral goblets, which were hung in the portrait gallery and could double as rookery helms. Gotta go, he said cheerfully, smacking Dennis on the back as he headed out. See you later. Wouldn't miss it, said Dennis, helping himself to eggs, bacon and mushrooms. You know you don't have to do it, Kai said in a low voice as Cyrus powered out of the breakfast room. Eh, said Dennis. It's in everyone's best interest that your mother gets a chance to beat me up every few days. Kai could feel a familiar shiver in the air as he sat down, his magic reaching out for Camilla and finding traces of her in the room. Cammy ate already? She wanted me to pass on the message that kale smoothies are especially conducive to magical control, said Chase, pushing his own toast around the plate. Think I'd rather go evil, said Kai. Chase pushed his sunglasses down and smirked at him. This is why you're my favourite. Camilla was in the middle of a full meditation when Kai let himself into the tower. Their shared workroom behind the little kitchenette was a work in progress. 2 of the walls were still covered with the swirling tattoo designs, holding their excess magic in ink. The other 2 were blank. Perhaps they'd paint a mural or something on them when the walls were no longer needed. Kai's magic reached out for that of his sister, alert to her presence. Today's the day, said Camilla serenely, her eyes still closed and her legs neatly crossed. The season begins. Ready to catch yourself a marriageable princess? Are you? Kai shot back. They exchanged private smiles. Life became a lot simpler for them both, once Queen Ella came to terms with Kai's enduring devotion to Dennis, as well as Camilla's equally enduring disinterest in becoming romantically entangled with anyone. Chase and Cyrus were still in the firing line. The Queen had made a public declaration that she and the King would not announce which of the elder twins would inherit the kingdom until after both of them had chosen their future spouse. Clearly, she thought this would encourage both princes to get their finger out and accept a betrothal. It was sweet how hard Queen Ella was trying to be a good parent, though she still didn't quite get her children. Chase and Cyrus were now even more determined to hold off matrimony for as long as possible. This was going to be a long and fruitless season for the hopeful candidates. For the younger royal siblings, Kai and Camilla, it was a spectator sport. "Enough gossip," said Camilla. "Let's get to work." Kai was still buzzing a few hours later when he left the tower. Over the last few months, he and his twin had worked out a series of rules to ensure that neither of them went the full beanstalk, i.e. overdosing on power. One of those rules was that they never worked for more than a few hours at a time, after which they made sure to get fresh air, avoid each other's company, do non-magical things that made them happy, and eat regular meals. Camilla struggled with all of those restrictions, except number two. After so long isolating herself from her family, her natural tendency was still to shut herself up away from everyone. She was working on it. Kai wandered over towards the courtyard, from where he could hear yells, bangs, and the clashing of swords. Speaking of family togetherness. "Ah, Camden," said a gentle voice, interrupting his walk. "Hold this, will you?" Kai stopped and accepted the basket of cut roses, along with a pair of secateurs and three individual gardening gloves. "Where do you want these, Father?" he asked, in the awful voice he found himself putting on in the presence of the king these days. Polite and deferential, washed of all personality, and only a tone or two above a whisper. His Majesty did not do well with loud noises. Some might see the changes in King Iorcus as an improvement. He could no longer be found raging at or coldly ignoring members of his family. Gone was the pomposity, the vicious streak, and the melancholy. But he was the cost. A traumatised man who took no further interest in the throne or the governance of his kingdom. His twice transformation into a tree, once in this universe and once in a universe of suspicious and unreasonable happiness, had worked some kind of deep and lasting damage on the King of Charming. The worst part was, thought Kai as he trailed after his father, carrying his garden tools, was it was so much easier to like this version of the king. Camilla was dealing with her feelings of guilt and culpability only marginally better than before, which was to say, at least she hadn't run away to live on a cloud with imaginary flying horses this time around. She refused to see her father, or to spend any amount of time in his presence, claiming that she needed to keep her emotions calm and settled until the magic was likewise stable. King Iorcus did not seem to mind being ignored by his daughter. He did not mind much these days, except for aphids and other garden pests, about which he could summon quite a detailed and indignant lecture. Chase also had little to do with the king. His own resentment at the years of neglect and cruelty could not be cast aside overnight. He was polite to the king at evening meals, the only ones that the royal family mostly shared altogether. But he never opened a conversation or called attention to himself in King Iorcus's presence. In private, Chase was harsher. When drunk, he admitted that he thought their father was faking it, just another kind of abandonment. Kai spent more time with Iorcus than the rest of them, and he did sometimes wonder if Chase was onto something. Maybe this garden retirement was a choice, not a symptom. Or, he supposed, both. It could be both. Either way, this was how things were. Cyrus was more willing to accept this new version of the king. Kai often caught glimpses of Cyrus in the gardens, carrying tools or exchanging a few words with the quiet king. But when Chase started on one of his bitter rants, Cyrus never argued with him. Kai needed to process many of his own feelings around guilt and culpability, not least the fate of his foster mother and the role he had played in vanquishing her. In the garden, pottering around with the strangely serene King of Charming, he had found the thinking time he needed as their life settled into the new normal. It was amazing, really, how okay they were, all things considered. It would get better. Queen Ella continued to sleep in different chambers to her husband and had taken on the workload of the reigning monarch with a ferocious dedication. It was clear from recent public appearances that the king was content to be little more than a figure on her arm. If she had thoughts or feelings on the matter, she had not shared them with her children. Up ahead of Kai now, the king stopped by a particularly laden rose bush and reached out absently. Kai placed the secateurs in his father's hand and stood well back. Snip, snip, the dead heads fell one after another, neatly severed. The king occasionally selected a still-blooming stalk to cut properly and lay in the basket, but otherwise was fully occupied in chopping away the dead and dying flowers. It was autumn. The rose season in Charming was long, but coming to an end. "I have to go," Kai said after a while, disturbing the near silence. "The carriages are coming soon." "Ah," said his father, giving a rare smile that was not in any way related to gardening. "Duty calls. Off you go, son." "Did you want to join us?" Kai asked, almost surprised himself. The king huffed gently beneath his breath and turned back to his work. "It's not my place these days." Kai found Dennis where he had expected to, in the courtyard, fighting with the queen. After Zed went home to Zix, Queen Ella had been missing her sparring partner. Old Sarge came by once a week to give her a bit of a workout, but everyone else in the castle was too deferential to be any use to her. 8 weeks ago, Dennis finally lost his temper with the queen and told her off in no uncertain terms about her refusal to acknowledge his and Kai's relationship. She listened to his fury with an odd sort of smile, while everyone around them froze in horror. She tilted her head to one side, and then she said in a challenging tone, "What are you going to do about it?" The first time the two of them sparred together, it was a lot closer to a duel than anyone was entirely comfortable with. Kai practically expired from holding his breath too long, in anticipation of the moment when one of them took it too far. Now, they sparred for an hour every other day, and while Queen Ella had never allowed the word boyfriend to pass her lips, she now referred to Dennis in public as her son's champion. Kai would take it. Cyrus and Chase dressed about as tidily for a royal reception as anyone could expect of them, lounged over the railing of the balcony that overlooked the courtyard, cheering on the pair in mid-fight. Cyrus was barracking for their mother and Chase for Dennis, but at one point they switched teams without even blinking. It wasn't noon yet. Neither the queen nor the champion would be ready to stop. They were both creatures of routine. Kai headed up the steps to join his brothers. "Really?" he said to Chase. "That's what you're wearing." "What?" said Chase, looking down at his bright green tunic. "It doesn't have any egg stains." "Someone wants to look like he's not trying so hard," said Cyrus with a smirk, ruffling Chase's carefully styled hair. "Sod off, sod off," his brother yelped, shoving him away. After a few more rounds, Ella and Dennis stopped fighting exactly on the noon chime. Kai had instituted this rule himself because the two of them were so stubborn, they would never be the first to admit they were tired. The first week they tried to spar regularly, they never stopped until supper every day. Dennis almost collapsed from dehydration. Kai went down to claim a sweaty kiss from his boyfriend. "Get your glad rags on," he called to his mother. "There's queening to be done." "Oh, I think the princes can handle it," she said, putting away her collection of swords into the lockbox. "I'm going to take a 2-hour bubble bath." "I think you mean read and sign 14 different diplomatic documents," said Amira, appearing at Cyrus's elbow as if by magic. He sputtered, looking around. "How'd you get there? Did you find another secret passage?" "It's competence," she said sweetly. "Look it up." The queen rolled her eyes, but waved Amira down to her. "I'll sign them in the bubble bath." Dennis hurried off to get changed himself. It wasn't long now before their visitors were due. Kai grinned up at Cyrus and Chase as they came down the steps, half shoving each other. "It's sweet the way you and Amira think we haven't noticed." "Notice what?" said Cyrus, innocently. Chase rolled his eyes. "You could invite her to breakfast sometimes, you know, Not very princely to send her off every morning without so much as a point of toast. His brother's shoulders sagged. She won't, he grumbled. Ashamed to be seen with you? Something like that. She says she likes me, Cyrus added, cheering up slightly. But she likes her job more. Also, she totally thinks no one knows. Please don't tell her you figured it out. Kai had shared cocktails with Amira and Jack 2 days ago, both women complaining in horrendous detail about their love life. Yep, he said with a straight face, we'll take it to our graves. Course, you might have to murder Chase to make sure he keeps the secret. That's fair, said Chase. Shall we head out the front? Cyrus snorted, not that he's keen or anything. Chase tripped him up, though Kai shot out a hand to steady Cyrus before he fell flat on his face. This is why you're my favourite, Cyrus told him earnestly. Now it was Chase's turn to snort. A crowd had gathered around the front of the castle, waiting for the coaches. Reporters hustled together at the front, elbowing and stamping to get a good spot. A few uniformed castle guards stood nearby, making a vague attempt to keep order. Because the princes were there, the royal hounds were too, in full livery. Sergeant Jack leaned against the castle wall, offering something like a salute as the brothers approached her. "That's what you're wearing?" she asked Chase as he joined her at the wall. "Don't you start," he muttered. "I like the hair, though," she teased. "Doesn't look like you're making an effort at all." He ducked her attempts to tidy it. "Stop, woman! You're not the Sarge of me." "Here we go," said Cyrus, straightening his own collar. "Time to go to work, boys." The charming pumpkins began their rattling progression towards the castle, drawn by horses that would clearly rather be anywhere else. Lights popped, and the air filled with the familiar scent of monochrome explosions. Questions burst out from the reporters as the first crop of princesses emerged from the pumpkins. Why were they here? Who were they wearing? Which royal did they hope to secure in matrimony? What was that weird smell of dried root vegetable? The princes of Charming stepped forward to do their duty, greeting the princesses, debutantes and chaperones, and handing them off almost immediately to the household staff so they could be escorted to their assigned quarters. It had to be done quickly because there were more pumpkins charging towards them, ready to be unloaded. By the time the sixth pumpkin opened to reveal its cargo, Kai had a lot more lipstick all over his cheeks than he was altogether comfortable with. He glanced back at one point and saw that Dennis, fully garbed in his royal hound livery now, had joined Sergeant Jack. Both of them clearly found the whole thing hilarious. So that was less to explain later, at least. A seventh pumpkin, slower than the rest, rolled in to stop in front of them. The monochromes flashed even before the door opened. Prince Zeolin of Zix, newly restored to the bosom of his forgiving family, after proving he'd not murdered his stepsister, emerged from the pumpkin coach with a wide smile and a swish of his dark ponytail. Most brother chaperones who came along for the season tended to wear neutral clothing, unless they were specifically here to catch a mate. Zeolin wore a floor-length tailored coat in blinding white, covered with embroidered lilies and jasmine flowers. This was a man come courting. Without even having to look at each other, Cyrus and Kai each pushed their brother in front of them, just enough to catch Zeolin's attention. The flirtation between Zed and Chase had been a source of great amusement to everyone in the days that followed the Summer Queen disaster, before the royal siblings of Zix decided they needed to return home and sort out matters with their family. Chase had spent the last few months telling everyone it didn't mean a thing and that he didn't care if Zed came back to Castle Charming or not. Now, Prince Zeolin bowed. Prince Chase bowed back. They smirked at each other. When Zeolin held his hand out in greeting, Chase took it in his own. The crowd went wild. Kai and Cyrus were almost knocked over as the press corps followed Chase and Zeolin up to the castle. How does it feel to be the least newsworthy prince in Castle Charming? Kai asked Cyrus, laughing. Works for me, little brother, Cyrus grinned back. This pumpkin coach was not empty yet. Princesses began to clamber out of it. Zixi's princesses, by the looks of it, all dressed at least as prettily as Xia Lin. Clearly, their family thought Castle Charming was the place to be to secure a match. Kai couldn't argue with that. Finally, from behind three of her sisters or cousins, Princess Zi emerged. She wore a less fussy version of Xia Lin's tailored coat, in deep blue instead of white, and no flowers. She wore soft trousers that fell around her like a skirt. An old trick that Camilla had taught her, for when you want to be comfortable while still appearing to follow the social rules. Kai greeted her with a smile, squeezing her hand. Cyrus kissed her on the cheek, which drew the attention of a few of the reporters away from the Chase and Zed show. Welcome home, Kai told her. Hope you're planning to stay longer this time. Zi nodded, her eyes moving past him through the crowd. Up by the castle, Dennis waved and grinned, knowing that he wasn't the one she was looking for. Sergeant Jack stepped forward, looking nervous. Zi ran. She lost both shoes on the steps, and it didn't slow her down. At the top, she threw herself into Jack's arms, and Jack caught her in a tight hug that turned very quickly into a front-page kiss. The reporters swarmed. The monochromes popped. Chaos reigned. Kai gave his brother a friendly smack on the back and made his way around the crowd. Dennis met him halfway. They exchanged a brief, unscandalous kiss, and no one paid any attention to them at all. I guess they're bored with us, said Dennis, his big hand wrapping around Kai's. No one even asked me about the colour of your underwear this week. We are exceptionally boring, Kai agreed with a smile. Long may it last. The rest of the day was unremarkable, in the best possible way. The end. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. Next week, we'll have a bit of a festive cheer with a story previously exclusive to my Patreon. Hold on to your hat for Secret Santa Spy Science, a tale of office romance, bar humbug, and very creative gifts. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR. Find me on Facebook at TansyRRBooks. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. See you next week.